It is good to be here today. My wife and I are very honored to be worshiping the Lord with you today. And it's a privilege that your pastor, Tim, asked me to come and speak and share the gospel, and to share the word of God that gives us life, that gives us hope, that gives us understanding through his Holy Spirit. God is good, and he's good all the time. And some of you know me. I recognize some faces. I'll recognize some names from the Belize mission trips and the few times that we have visited here. My wife and I were called by the Lord to go into the missions field, and I am in the process of my second year of seminary. And by God's grace and his mercy and the support of my wife and her love and compassion, we are striving towards ordination as soon as I can graduate from RTS and then going into the missions field where God is calling us, wherever that might be at this time. And again, we just want to thank you again for this time to be here today. We all work under power, by some power. Sometimes it is sadly in our own power. Sometimes it's the power that the authority that's given to us by governments or by people or by kings. But we as believers work under the power of God, the Holy Spirit that's imparted to us through Christ and the examples that he sets for us. Today we're going to learn by what power we work under. And it's always not our own power. We only work by what we see and what we hear and what's revealed through us through the Gospels, through the message of God, through his scriptures. We're going to read today from Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 22. And if you're able, please stand for the reading of God's word. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who have heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas and the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all those who were the high priestly family. And when they had set in them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name do you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning the good deed that was done to the crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, and by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, by which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated common men, and they were astonished. And they recognized that they have been with Jesus, and seeing the man who was healed standing before them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they have commanded them to leave the council, and they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident in all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may be spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach in this name, the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And when they have further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all were praising God for what has happened, for the man on whom the sign of the healing was performed was more than 40 years old. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your saving grace. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank you for your Holy Spirit imparted upon us, as we see in the example with Peter and John, Father God. We pray that our hearts be open to your word, that our minds be open, that we may reason the good message that is being spoken before us, Father God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This account is shortly after the day of Pentecost, where God's promise of the Holy Spirit fell upon the disciples. And if we all remember, before the upper room and this event happened, there was a lot of dismay and a lot of broken hearts and fear amongst the disciples and the followers of Christ. They just seen their Savior crucified on the cross, dead and buried. But they also spent 40 plus days with the resurrected Christ before he ascended into heaven, where Christ again spoke to them and told them of the things to come and told them of the promise of God and of the Holy Spirit. So now that the Holy Spirit has fallen upon them, we see changed men. Where Peter was denying Christ before others, now is speaking boldly through the power of the Holy Spirit, professing the message, professing the gospel message even before it's written for us to have in the Bible that we share daily amongst ourselves. There's three attributes that we see that are taking place with the Holy Spirit that has come upon them. They are being bold in the Holy Spirit, in the Word. They are also being steadfast in the things that they were taught by Christ and that the Holy Spirit is revealing to them. The church is new at this moment in time. It is growing quickly to several thousand people in the early days since the upper room. And the apostles and most of the Christians, new believers at this time, were Jewish. And they didn't have churches like we have today. They are still worshiping and gathering in the synagogue as they always have. But now they have Christ in their hearts and they have the Holy Spirit amongst them. So they gather together again at the synagogues. But what a difference in their lives has happened. They are now sharing the yet written gospel of Christ Jesus to all the people. They are performing miracles and they are sharing what they have seen and what they have done and what they have learned directly from Jesus. But now they're under the power of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that Jesus said was in him is now in them. The same Spirit that Jesus used to raise Lazarus from the dead and the same Spirit that brought Jesus out from the grave. They now speak in the power and the truth by the prompting of the Holy Spirit. The lame man has just been healed who sat at the Gate Beautiful for 40 years begging for alms because he wasn't allowed in the temple to worship God. All the people have witnessed this, and they are praising and glorifying God and then Jesus, his Son. But what are the effects that are happening on the people is also affecting the rulers. They are seeing what's going on, and it's making them nervous. The religious leaders and rulers and the Sadducees are seeing that faith is in Christ, a Christ that they do not accept and believe in. The resurrection of the dead, that the Sadducees are against the spiritual natures of God and don't want this taught in their synagogues. They need to put an end to this quickly, otherwise they're going to lose their control over the Jewish people and the new believers in Christ. The rulers felt that if we arrested them, we could intimidate them into not continuing the practice of sharing the works of Jesus. But little did they know what power they were working against. They figured that these simple fishermen with limited educations, and they were the leaders with high education, wealth, and the power that the people has bestowed upon them, could intimidate them to stop. We see this in our daily lives, as in our workplaces, walking down the street, as we reflect and are bold to share our opinions on the sanctity of life. And the things that the world goes against our God and Father. But the world itself, the world system, does not believe in God. They don't have trust in him. They have trust in themselves and their own power and the control that they have over the people. And they try and shut us up and shut us down. and they try and intimidate us with their fancy words or laws. But we know the truth. We know the common truth, the simple truth of the gospel that has more power than that. God had another plan for Peter and John. He wasn't going to allow them to be shut up. This was the gospel being preached. This was the message of hope in a world that had no hope. This was life being professed to all the people that had no other idea than what can be provided for them, like the lame man. 40 years he was carried to the temple gates to ask for money to feed himself and take care of himself. They offered no other faith until John and Peter, under the power of the Holy Spirit, came upon them. So Peter and John both responded to the complaints and the threats with authority and boldness, as if they were more than they previously were thought of. They were different. And they rebuffed every challenge presented to them with eloquence, with passion, with reason, and with expression. And the rulers were befuddled by this, by the responses that was given to them. They had no idea what the power of the Holy Spirit can do. Peter boldly answered, "Ruler of the peoples and elders, if we are being examined today concerning the good deed that was done to the crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, by whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. By him this man is standing well before you." Just as Jesus, with Satan in the wilderness during the temptation, answered the conflict and the trials and persecution with the truth of God's word. God's word is all powerful. God's word, and through his Holy Spirit, can overcome anything that the world can throw against it. Peter turned and answered to them that even they could not, with answers they could not deny. Truth is more powerful than deceit, and God's truth is more powerful than any man or any principality can come up with. Back then, as today, when God's opponent have no argument, they resort to threats and to silence the truth. They resort to violence, as we see in this day and age, when they have no argument against God's word. The truth hurts them, but it empowers us. Since the rulers could not deny the facts, they commanded Peter and John to stop talking about it. Their intent on stopping the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the works of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But since their hearts were hardened due to their unbelief, they were desperate. Again, we see Peter and John reply again to their commands in response to them being told to be silent, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you, or rather to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. They stand bold on what is revealed to them through Christ, through their personal experience, through what Christ has taught them, through what the Holy Spirit is revealing to them. They cannot be anything, but they cannot be silenced. They cannot hold back the love and the change in their hearts that we also share when we are challenged in our beliefs. We are challenged daily in our political views. As Christian conservatives, we are challenged and seen as narrow-minded. We're seen as hateful, but we offer nothing but love, the love of Jesus Christ, the love of the Holy Spirit that can change hearts and minds as God calls his children unto him. This is what we offer. It's not what the world offers, which is silence and no hope. The rulers had nothing more to charge them with, but only threats. Their power was defeated by the word of God, and they had lost the battle. At that time, they were also fearing the response of the people. They felt if they dealt too harshly with the apostles, the people might revolt against them. They felt they had no choice but to let them go. And that is such a sad state of affairs, where our religious leaders may fear the reaction of the people more than God's reaction. that they set their plans upon what the people will say, what the votes and the ballots will cast, instead of standing on the Word of God. And again, we see this happening today across the world. God-haters challenging anything of God, whether it's a fight over life, sin, morals, and truth. Unbelievers want to rewrite the moral code handed down to us from God to fit their opinions, their desires, their lifestyles. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 3, and forgive me, I did forget my glasses on the ride here this morning. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And again, Peter writes to us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in 2 Peter chapter number 2, I'm sorry, 3, in verse number 3. Knowing this, first of all, the scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. And we continually see this, and they don't even know that they're fulfilling the Word of God in the actions that they do. But they are. But we know the Word of God. We have it written for us. We have it in our hearts. We have it on our heads. And God reveals through His Holy Spirit. So we also see this day that the many churches, and likely churches that we have gone to in the past or know of, that are giving in to the pressures of the world. But we need to stand strong on the Word of God, the love that Christ has shown to us, not to go out and beat people with the Word of God, but to show the love of Christ that changes hearts. And like Peter and John, we need to be bold. We need to stand up. We need to pronounce the word that we to the world that we chose to do what's right in God's sight and not what's in man's sight. As your elders have spoke today, and it's very impressive that the men of this church stand behind Tim, and they stand behind the Word of God to make sure that the message is pronounced out there, not to be whitewashed, not to be watered down, but the Word of God is to be bold, spoken boldly, and with steadfastness. As we experience with Christ, we share the word, we share the gospel to all that will listen, anytime, anywhere. Not when it's convenient, not when we feel comfortable, not when somebody pushes us to do it, but to be ready in season and out of season, to be able to answer the devil's demands against us to keep silent. For there should be no other answer for those that claim Jesus as their Lord and Savior other than the Word of God. There is nothing in the Bible that says it will be easy. For Christ shares that we will be hated for His sake. And in Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, "And you will be hated for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved." And that endurance comes through the Holy Spirit, through God's Word, through studying and meditating and singing God's word in our hearts, by sharing God's word with others. There's so much I get out of sharing God's word that I pray that you get out of hearing God's word. The feelings that I have and reading the words out loud give me such God's power. And my heart is changed as everyone's heart is changed when God's word is spoken. But we will suffer persecution for it. We will have hate against us and vile things said against us. But we know that He is with us and He will never forsake us. So we must be steadfast in our beliefs, practiced and prepared. There's 3 points that I hope that we can all receive from this message. Is being bold. Being bold, for Christ is with us. Being bold as Peter and John were, in spite of the Sadducees and the religious leaders arresting them for sharing what Christ has done. Paul writes to us in Acts chapter 4, verse 29, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak the word with all boldness. To the Thessalonians it is written in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2, but though we have already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. We need to be in the Word. We need to be in the Word daily. The early church didn't have the privilege of having it all written down in front of them. We do in every language possible. I'm in the middle of going through Greek right now, so I'm learning to read the New Testament in Greek. And what a privilege that is to read it written as Jesus spoke it, to read it written as Paul scribed it, as the Holy Spirit gave them the message to write. So we need to be in the Word daily, and that's where our answers lie. Everything that we need is in the Bible. In the bulletin, I was reading the wonderful articles in here of not it's wonderful that they're being persecuted, but how believers around the world are surviving through the power and the Word of God. So in 2 Timothy, Paul wrote to him in chapter 2, verse 15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Matthew writes to us in chapter 22, verse 29, but Jesus answered them, you are wrong because you know neither the scripture nor the power of God. This was where the Pharisees were misusing God's word to give the back up their claims on the situation. But Jesus said, you don't know the scriptures. You don't know the word of God. You don't, nor the power of God. We need to be steadfast in our work. Study God's word and pray. Prayer is so important as believers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. To the Colossians it is written in chapter 1, verse 23, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Paul wrote again in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Prayer is our connection to God. In our world of technology, we have computers in our pockets. But if we don't plug it into an outlet at some point, the battery dies and it's useless. It's just a chunk of plastic and glass. We are useless if we're not plugged into God with prayer, that we're not plugged into the Word of God that reveals truth to us, that we're not sharing the Word of God, that the free gift that was given to us that we share with others, the Great Commission. We need to be steadfast. We need to be bold. We need to be using God's Word as God intended for all of us. And we're not alone in this race. Paul refers to it as a race. It doesn't matter who comes in first. It's that we complete it, that we do it in our stride, and we realize we're doing it through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have an ever-loving Father who sent His only begotten Son to die for our sins, who was resurrected from the dead so that we could be made righteous through His righteousness, and has imparted His Spirit from the Father and the Son as promised. We run the race not by our own works or deeds, but by Him alone. We know that He is with us always, and by the same Spirit that raised Him from the dead and performed miracles in the presence of the apostles and many others, we too have the confidence through Christ's sacrifice that we also accept, who accepted the Father's call, are children of the most perfect Father. We can have this confidence as long as we can truly say Christ Jesus is our Lord and Savior. If we cannot truly say this, and you feel that God is calling you, Don't let another minute pass. For without God's calling us to redemption, repentance, and salvation by the saving power of Christ in our lives, we are just as lost as the religious leaders that we read about. So I just say to all, I thank God every day for Christ Jesus, my Lord and Savior, as God called me so many years ago unto salvation that I was able to accept it through His grace, His free gift, and only by His power can I continue to walk in God's mercy. And I pray that for all. I pray for more strength for all believers and those who don't believe at this time that they would heed God's call. We are to plant seeds. We are to share the message. But it's God who calls His children, and then His children respond. So let me close in prayer. Father God, we just thank You for this day. We thank You for Your grace and mercy. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for the message this day. We pray that our hearts were open, that our ears heard, dear Lord, and lives are changed, because that is the evidence of Your work in our lives, Father God. We pray for this congregation. We pray for Pastor Tim Watson as he's on vacation with his wife, traveling mercies as they come back home to their flock, Father God. In Christ's name we pray.